Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Turning to the disciples in private, he said, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The Gospel of the Lord. The season of Advent involves a double dynamism. The Lord is coming, that's what Advent means. He's coming, as the phrase goes, in history, in mystery, and in majesty. He's coming into our world at Bethlehem, and we need to prepare for that. He's coming, that's history. He's coming in mystery, in the sacraments, in His Word, even in others. We've got to be prepared for that Advent. And He's coming in majesty, in the clouds of heaven, at the end of time or at the end of our life, whichever comes first. That's the first dynamism, the Lord's coming toward us. But then there's second dynamism, which is our not just staying put, but our going out to embrace the Lord who's coming in each of these three ways. And in today's readings, we see that double dynamism. We see the Lord, how He's coming, and what He wants to do. And then we see what our response needs to be to meet Him in each of these ways. So the prophet Isaiah tells us, a shoot shall sprout from Jesse's stump. In the mentality of the Jews at the time, that root of David had been chopped down. The kingdom had been destroyed. But there was prophecy that out of that destroyed stump, a shoot's going to spring up. There's going to be life again. It's not going to be dead. The Davidic reign is going to come again. That's obviously the Son of David, Jesus. A shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a blood shall blossom. And what's he going to be like? The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. It's going to remain fixed there. And what are going to be the manifestations? Spirit of counsel and strength. He's going to know what to do and he's going to be strong about it. Spirit of knowledge of the things of God and of the awe of the Lord, who's going to treat God with the reverence with which he deserves. He's not going to judge by appearances or by hearsay. He's going to judge with justice. He's going to decide aright, especially for the land's poor. What we're starting to get described here is what the kingdom of God is going to be like, that the King of Kings is going to bring in, beginning from the beginning, as a one-celled embryo in Mary's womb, and then as a little baby. What's going to happen as a result? We see the kingdom of God with the imagery of the savagery of the animal kingdom. He's going to bring healing. The wolf shall be the guest of the lamb. The leopard lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion will play together with a little baby to guide them. The cow and the bear will be neighbors. The baby will play in a den of cobras. Child lay his hand on the adder's lair. That when this shoot that sprouts from the stump of Jesse comes on in, Those who run out to meet Him, those who receive what He wants to give, are going to have their conduct totally changed. And if that's the way His kingdom is going to penetrate the animal world, so much greater, Isaiah is telling us, is what He's going to be able to do among human beings. That's what He's coming into the world to do. And for us to receive that kingdom means that our behavior is going to be revolutionized. We're going to treat others differently. We're going to live together with the Lord. And when we're really living together with the Lord, we're not going to rip each other apart anymore. We're going to treat each other as much loved brothers and sisters. But there are two particular attitudes that are stressed in the gospel today that needs to mark our response to the Lord. The first is for us to learn truly how to become childlike. Jesus would say elsewhere in the gospel that unless we convert and become like little children, we won't inherit the kingdom. We won't even be able to enter into it. That's a particular aspect of this Lenten conversion. You know, for us grown-ups, a lot of the times we can lose the whole spirit of Advent and Christmas. But when we go back to the time that we were little kids, with what passion we live this season, we've got to convert and become trusting and simple, like children anew. Not childish, but childlike. So Jesus, rejoicing in the Spirit, cried out to His Father, "I praise You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although You have hidden these things from the wise and the clever, You've revealed them to the childlike." And then He exclaims in an emphatic way, "Yes, Father, such has been Your gracious will." If we're receiving this kingdom the way we ought, we need to receive it as the gift that it is. Saint Therese Lisieux used to say that the problem as we grow up is we forget our dependence on God. We want to say, "Thanks, Dad, don't need Your help anymore. Let me wander away like the prodigal son from Your house because I got it." What signifies a child? Child is, "Can you help me go to the bathroom, Mama? Can you prepare something for me to eat, Dad? Can you help me to tie my shoes? Can you fix this problem that I have?" You're essentially poor. You are absolutely not deceived by a sense of self-sufficiency, but that we look at everything that God wants to give us as a gift. Sure, God's going to teach us quite a lot. He's going to help us at all times to be able to grow up, to grow into full stature in Christ. But at the same time, we must never lose that childlike dependence on the loving help of the Father. To grow to full stature in Christ means to enter into His own relationship with His Father. And that's what's supposed to happen when Emmanuel comes, God with us, to help us to become true sons in the Son. That's the first attitude. And we can say, what are our real aspirations? Are our real aspirations to be childlike like this? Or is it to be a grown-up? I can do it on my own. Thanks for the offer, but You're as good as dead to me because I don't need You anymore. That's the first attitude that we need to examine if we're going to respond the way the one filled with the Spirit of the Lord wants us to respond. Second great attitude we need to have is joy. Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. And then He said we should share that joy at the very end of this gospel. "Blessed are the eyes that see what You see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings..." You can go through the whole litany of the prophets of the Old Testament. You can go through all the kings who came down from David. "They all longed to see what You see but didn't see it," He was telling to His hearers. St. John, a little bit later in his first letter, would say, "What we've seen with our eyes, what we've heard with our ears, what we've touched concerning the Word of Life." How blessed we are to be able to hear Jesus' words to be able to behold the Lamb of God who takes away not just the sins of the world, but our sins. To be able to touch Him and be touched with Him from within. That joy of God, He came into our world to give us. So that His joy might be in us and our joy might be fulfilled. That's the second attitude that's supposed to mark our preparation for Christmas. To be filled with that joy of God. And if we're truly childlike, we will be. Because as children, we appreciate the little things that come. It's only when we grow to become wise and clever in worldly ways that we can begin to look for other things. Rather than saying, thank you for what I have, we can say to the Lord, why don't I have what He has? You must love that other person more than me. All of the grown-up envy, all of the grown-up cynicism can start to invade the simplicity we're supposed to have as joy-filled children. This is my first time here to the Shrine. I'm a priest from Massachusetts, and I've longed to come here since I heard about it 4 years ago with Bishop Ricken's declaration that our Blessed Lady appeared here to Adele Breeze. And when Our Lady brought this message, a message you know very well, it featured both of these aspects. The first was she asked Adele to pray with her for the conversion of sinners. That we were like lions ripping up lambs in the world, that we needed to change to allow the kingdom of God to be able to come within us. And that's an ever urgent and relevant appeal. And then second, Our Lady confided to her mission to do more. I need you to do more. That there are so many out there, including children who don't know how to be children of God. They've never been taught even to make the sign of the cross. Never been taught how much God wants to do. She was asking Adele's help. To help people paradoxically grow up in Christ and still remain childlike. And Adele spent the rest of her life seeking to complete that mission so that the joy that God has sought to bring into the world would be the joy of those all around this area. And I presume some of those people are your ancestors. But that appeal of Our Lady is ever present. She wants us to receive her Son who comes, filled with all these gifts of the Holy Spirit. She wants us as children to receive those same gifts. On the day each of us was confirmed, we came forward. And the same Spirit that rested on Jesus came to rest on us. The bishop who confirmed us prayed, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and the Holy Spirit, has freed His sons and daughters from sin and given them new birth. May He fill you with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, with the Spirit of knowledge and right judgment, with the Spirit of reverence and awe in His presence. The Lord wanted to fill us with His same joy, which is to fill us with His same Holy Spirit, who helps us to rejoice in the Holy Spirit as beloved sons and daughters of God. To help us truly live by the Holy Spirit, which will help us to live always in the kingdom. You know, St. Paul would say in his letter to the Romans that the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts precisely so that we could cry out, Abba, Father. St. Augustine in the early church said, what it means to pray by the Holy Spirit is to pray as beloved sons and daughters of God. That the Holy Spirit helps us not by putting words on our lips, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray as we ought, fundamentally by changing us so that we're able to approach God with confidence as His much loved sons and daughters. Jesus would talk about that in the Sermon on the Mount. What father among you, if his son asked for a loaf of bread, would be given a stone? for he asked for a fish, would be given a poisonous eel. If you, who know how to give good gifts to your children, give them good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's the spirit of joy. That's the spirit that helps us to become and behave always as true children of God. Remember how we began our prayer today. It summarizes the message God wants us to hear so that we can be emboldened to go out and meet him. We begged Emmanuel, God with us, to come. Then we called him a wisdom from on high. This shoot from the stump of Jesse, filled with wisdom. Order all things far and nigh. Help us to put everything in its place. To us the path of knowledge show. That path that's hidden from the wise and the clever. Not because God wants to conceal it, but because they're not docile, they're not open to the message. And teach us in her ways to go. The wisdom is supposed to be wisdom in action, wisdom lived. And then we prayed, rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. That the great joy of Advent is this joy, that Christ is coming, has come, and will come again. He wants us to run out to meet him in all three of these ways, as expectant children, full of joy for what our eyes have seen, still see, and hope to see forever with him. And the greatest way we prepare for that, we do every day when we come into the same presence of Emmanuel, God with us, to help us to become sons in him and to help us to rejoice forever in continuing the work of Adele Breeze. Bring that joy, bring that spirit, and bring the Lord's ways out to a world that still hungers for the same instruction. Praise be Jesus Christ.